Second Peter chapter 2. We're working on, verse 14. The false teachers that are the specific subject here, I think it'd be, to most people, kind of surprising this would even be addressed in the Bible. But it is. And it is still with us, obviously, in a different form and manifestation. We don't hang out with those kind of people. We wouldn't hang out, hopefully, none of us, with anybody that had any of those kind of inclinations. We try to deal with all people appropriately, but we don't hang out with negative volition. I mean, we just don't. I don't. I want to be around people that are, you know, hooked up with the plan of God and are on track with it. The rest of it is boring. The only reason the rest of it can be interesting is you're with someone with doctrine that's making comments about something, and I prefer to be around those who show some zeal and enthusiasm for what God's doing in their life, what they're learning spiritually, and things of this nature. The rest of it is boring without it. It's just flat. It's like a recipe, and there's no salt. All the other ingredients are there, but there's no salt. Thumbs down. It isn't going to work. Okay. Let's read the verses again one more time, because it's an ongoing thing here. We'll start with verse 13 and make these false teachers count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Also, then we moved on to two types of sinning that they are engaged in way over the top. Having eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin. They only look at a woman as a sex object. Period. That is brought out in the first part of this. And certainly there are people like that very much with us in the world today. No, they're not content with that, are they? Enticing unstable souls. They want to target other people and drag them into the same muck. Enticing unstable souls. They'll zero in on somebody that's easily influenced by their propaganda. Having a heart trained in greed. Accursed children. What's the matter? Is it not working?
It died.
Who died? You didn't charge it?
Well, yeah, I did. Sorry.
Isn't going to cut it. There are souls out there that need the truth, for God's sakes. They're just chomping at the bit. I get letters all the time. Overwhelmed with people on our webpage. Yeah, right. Dream on, Jack. Dream on. So what am I going to talk about? Israel pounding the hell out of Iran. That's good. That's good news. They zeroed in on them good, didn't they? And they're smart. They're smart. They got good intelligence. They figured out what to hit. And that's what I pray for. Give Israel, part of success in warfare is good intelligence. Knowing what you need to know. Finding out and getting information so you're not wasting your time running around striking at minor targets. You want to go after the head of the beast. You want to get them where it hurts. And any prayers you have, people are dying, but nobody's going to die that's going to get saved. And I'm not putting a blanket over the whole country of Iran. It's that theocracy of those ayatollahs. They're just like a mafia. They're a criminal organization. in the name of Allah. And many of the Iranian people don't like him. And there's Christians in Iran, whatever varieties they are. I don't know. But there are people there that hate these monsters. So this one. The head of the UN, where our tax dollars go. He was mourning for the death of Sinwar. He was in mourning for the death of this mastermind of the October 7th massacre. The thing isn't just neutral, not taking sides. It's taking sides. And these sub-alphabet soup things that are a part of the UN in there, they're embedded with these people. Some of them are both terrorists and employees. It's a mess. But we have all the scripture. Israel's there to stay. Israel's there to stay. Period. They will suffer. We're moving to the coming of Christ. That land is still promised to the spiritual, racial descendants of the age of Israel and the future age concluding and onward to the millennium. And the angelic conflict knows that. And so they're trying to disrupt this and overthrow this. Israel as a nation, a small nation geographically, territory-wise, is a small nation compared to many nations. And yet they have prospered. Yet they have a good economy. I'm sure tourism has kind of taken a hit with all this. And you got these countries shooting missiles and drones into the country. What do you expect them to do? Nations have a right to self-defense if they're attacked. So they have every right. But these people out here are ideologically motivated and do not believe that Israel is legitimate and that they want to take over the land, whether they are Muslims or UN types, want them to withdraw to the 67 borders. That's when they got Jerusalem for the first time, and they occupied Jerusalem in a war with Jordan to the east. Jordan isn't doing anything now. I mean, it's what it is. So continue to pray for Israel. And see what happens. Even if you didn't, Israel's going to survive. And this is going to move forward. Because it's a God thing. It doesn't depend. I mean, God will use Jews now, Israelites now, and in the future to preserve the nation. All right, I'm going to let you go since our technology thing had a hiccup. It's okay. Everything works together for good. It isn't John's fault. Things happen. I got equipment to it. It doesn't always work. You know, I had to figure out why my Mercedes, on occasion, I'd get into it and the alarm would go off. The horn would honk until you were like this, and I'd mess around with it and get it shut off. Then it'd do it again. And I called them, and they said, well, maybe you need a new battery in your fob. Okay. So I took Brenda's fob. She doesn't drive the car. Something you really need to know. So anyway. All right. We'll dismiss. Thank you for the day together, Father, and for the truth. Continue to bless us and reveal to us the things that we need to know at the very end. In Christ's name, amen.